Thank you, Jay. Good leading. But a bachelor you're not, so your mind is elsewhere. How's everyone today? All fine? I think our one who picked out the songs was wanting to see a little sunshine, so he started the song that way, right? That's a good one to have. We all like a little sunshine. Well, we've gathered together to exalt the sovereign and to edify one another and to indeed carry on the ministry of evangelizing. My wife and I are happy to be here. It has been a while. I promised when we left we'd be back sometime, and here we are. We're always glad to persecute the saints and to kind of help minister to all one another. We're thankful with you and happy with you that God has brought the man that he's prepared and his wife to be the pastor here at Maranatha Baptist Church. And the time is drawing nearer for him to come. It's a great word of praise this morning when you think about how selling the home in short time and having those blessings of being able to stay where he's at until things here are ready. So keep your pastor in prayer. He is your pastor at this point, and rejoice in God's leading therein. All right, going to direct your attention to the book of Hebrews, where we started an outline a few months back and still seeking to work on it. Lord willing, we'll cover a little bit more of it this morning. But Hebrews and chapter 1, I'll read here what God the Holy Spirit, who indeed is the author of the Scriptures, set forth as he opened up the book of Hebrews in this sentence. First four verses are just one sentence and just precious for us. So Hebrews and the first chapter, the first verse, reads a bit like this. God, who at sundry times, various ways, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had, by himself, purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Hebrews chapter 1, the first four verses. So God the Holy Spirit, by his great mercy and grace, has given to the church this book called Hebrews. And here this opening sentence written for us, now read by us, just in such a majestic way, presents the Lord Jesus Christ to us, its readers, and to us who are desirous and willing and wanting to be filled with the things of the Word of God, so that we might be teaching and encouraging, admonishing one another in the things of the Scriptures. And he just brings forth the surpassing greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ, the incomparableness of who he is. As he works down through this, speaking of God, and he's giving the Scriptures, giving his Son, who is over all and all things made through him, and then that very one who went to the cross of Calvary. In a commentary by what is called Tyndale, a Tyndale commentary on Hebrews, I wanted to read, make it as an opening here today, Thomas Hewitt, many years ago, wrote this about this book and this opening in particular. And I quote what he said. He says, "The main purpose of the writer is to show the absolute supremacy of the gospel revelation in the Son, who has accomplished a full and final reconciliation of God and man over the imperfect revelation of the prophets." I would rather he'd use the word incomplete revelation at that time, complete now. "Both these revelations came from the same source. Both had the same divine origin, God, and the same divine purpose, fellowship. Fellowship between God and man lay behind both the Old and the New Testament. God unveils himself that mankind, each one of us here, may know him and draw near to him. The person, the office, the glory of the Son are brought forward in this introductory statement." I'd go back in that statement where he says the full and final reconciliation of God and man. God needed no reconciliation, just man. It was not God who went astray. It was you and I. We were in Adam. You say, "I didn't go astray from God." Yes, you did. The Bible says we were in Adam. And we went our own way when he went his own way. We would have done the same. We had been there. We have to keep that in mind. But God is the reconciler. He has reconciled us back to himself. He did all that was necessary and all that could be done, should be done, will ever be done to bring us back to himself. And that's the great love and graciousness of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom we worship this morning hour. So Jesus' greatness is illustrated through his relationship to the universe he made and his relationship to his Father, this Heavenly Father, God, and to his relationship to you and I. It's a marvelous thing to think about. We can have a personal relationship with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. This one whom we read about in this first few verses here is the very one we can walk with, talk with, know personally, rejoice in, be thankful for. Well, we've been using an outline that starts with using the word R. You can remember R, okay. And there are 8 words, in fact, to start with R that we're using in our outline for this beautiful thoughts with regard to this this book here. And we introduced it a few weeks back someplace by way of 2 messages. And then we got delving into it a little bit. The first R was Jesus Christ is the revealer. Jesus Christ is the revealer. And God throughout all the Old Testament revealed Jesus Christ to you and I. So when you read through the Old Testament, we should all the way through see indeed the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, so much directly about him there and many other times thoughts and things that only could apply to him. The second message we had way back when, I would like to think you remember it all, but I'm not deceived to think that, but Jesus Christ was the receiver. Remember that in chapter 2 and under the first, second section of the verse rather, second section of it, God appointed Jesus Christ to be the heir of all things. The heir of all things. And then the third place, or the third point, we talked about Jesus Christ, the realtor. The realtor. We say, "I own my land." Well, yes, you're using it. It belongs to the Lord. The God of the ages, by way of Jesus Christ, the creator, the owner of all that there is on the turf that we walk upon and that which we see up in the heavens. It's his. Well, today, Lord willing, as we wait for the Lord to come, expecting him at any moment, we're talking about Jesus Christ, the representation of God, found there in chapter 3 in the beginning of the chapter. the representation of God. God and the Son are the same. They are the same. And then, Lord willing, at the wee end of the service, we'll look at Jesus Christ, the regulator, upholding all things by the word of his power, which we just read about in Colossians and chapter 1. So let's dig in together, learn about, and indeed we'll always be standing in awe as we worship the Lord, as we see that Jesus, God's only begotten Son, is the exact representation and the reliance, the beautiful radiance of God's glory. So Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, if you would note with me, says, who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. The who there is, of course, Jesus. Jesus being the brightness of God's glory and the express image of his, that's God's person. So we have it brought forth in that way. Who, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. We should indeed stand in awe every time we think of the Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father. And here's a portion to help us to pull it out and have it in heart and mind. That Jesus Christ, having been called God's own Son in verse 2 right here, is now being described as the brightness. What's the brightest thing you've ever seen? Remember years ago when they would take those pictures of you and the flash bulb went off and that camera? Wow, that would, you know, that's why so many pictures came out the way they did. Because it just, big, bright light in your eye right then and there. And we think of things that are bright. We've all been taught, and I trust you've learned it by now, not to look directly at the sun. Have learned that, right? Don't look right at the sun. And Jesus, having been God's own Son as he is, described here as the brightness, the effluence of the beautifulness of the glory of God. I often wonder what the heavens were like when the angels of God came and proclaimed the birth of Christ, and the heavens were alight, and it says their theme was the glory to God. The glory means all the attention upon God, the brightness upon, put the light upon God. All the brightness with regard to him, all the attention upon him. Well, when you look at this portion of Scripture, we ask ourselves questions about Scripture and things that are therein so we might learn from them. And don't be afraid to ask questions. God's able to answer them all, and he won't be offended. But what does it mean? What does it mean to be the express image of his person? And what does it mean to be the brightness of the glory of God? Those of you that have had children, and maybe grandkids, any of your grandkids, anybody grandkids? Can you admit that you are grandkids? No, I'm on. All right. You can hear me, actually, huh? I'm not going to start over. We've had kids, and someone has seen us standing beside our child, or our child when they were a baby, and they said, "Ah, looks just like you. Got your smile. Got your eyes." I guess I have a tough time looking at babies, looking at the mom or the dad saying, "It looks like you." No, I don't. I never see it. Now, when they get older, I can see how they look a bit like
others, like mom or like dad. You know, boy, does she look like you. Boy, does he look like you. Exactly like you. In fact, years ago, the expression was used, he or she is the spitting image of yourself. I used to think of that, the spitting image. That don't sound so good to me. You know, it's a spitting image. It means an exact image is what the expression was. One person being kind of formed, as it were, from your very own spit is the idea. It's kind of a gross thought, if you think about it. But the expression has been used over the years. He's got your eyes, you know, and so on. Looks just like you. Well, think about that, your image, and think about the word brightness here, and this being one of the only place where the word brightness, which means beyond anything bright that we could think of, is used with regard to this idea in the New Testament. We have here the Son, Jesus Christ's relationship to the worlds, where Jesus is the heir and the creator of the worlds. Turn it around, creator and the heir. But also in relation to God, he's the brightness of his glory. And he's the image of his substance. There was indeed a time when we look at Genesis 1:1 and understand how God brought everything into being for his own will and desire and that of setting forth even you and I. But there was a time when there was no world, no ages, no eons. However, folks, there never was a time when God was without glory. And that glory was ever being revealed through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You and I might recall the beautiful chapter of John in chapter 17. Down in verse 5 of John 17, we read, O Father, Christ is praying. He says, O Father, remember the words, glorify me. Glorify me together with yourself. With what? With the glory. With the glory which he says, I had with you before the world began, before the world was. Great longing in Christ's heart to be back with the Father and to be seeing the glory of the Father and being recognized himself with the glory which he had. We've been talking a little bit about the Son. We haven't seen much of it in recent days, and we're just thinking about the beautiful heat we get from it. And just as the rays of the sun reveal the glory of that big, beautiful, bright ball in the heavens and are identified with it, the rays of the sun, the heat identified with the sun in the heavens, So Christ radiates the glory of God and is identified with him. So it is why when you and I take and present the things of God and are always ready with some means, you know, to give out a witness and declare the things of Christ and not ashamed to present him, as God brings those opportunities, and he does all the time, constantly there are opportunities before us to give out the gospel of the Lord. Our emphasis is to present God by presenting the Lord Jesus Christ, presenting one in the same. So Jesus is related to the Father as the Son's rays are related to the Son. Also, we read here, and you look at our text in Hebrews, that the Son is further described as the express image or the very counterpart of the Father. Very God of very God is a great way to place it here and present it before us. Who being the brightness of his glory, an express image of his person. Very God of very God. Perhaps for our little 2x4 minds, we need some other little phrases to help us grasp, you know, very God of very God. The very image of his substance. That might be a phrase to use. The express image of his person. Remember in John 14, we have that phrase before us. He that has seen me has seen the who? The Father, John 14 and verse 9. The exact representation of his purpose. I and the Father are one. A few years back, being in Romania, maybe I shared this before, but late one night, witnessing to a Romanian lady through her son doing the interpreting for me, and she just could not understand, grasp, think about that Jesus and God were one. When you've seen God, Christ, you've seen the Father. You've seen the Father, you've seen Christ. And so there in her little kitchen, spent many hours reading scriptures. I would give the reference, I would read it, and then her Romanian son would read it and explain it, and no, was always her reply. It can't be. And I would simply say, well, it's just what the Bible says. They that have seen Jesus have seen the Father. No, it cannot be. They are not the same. So many today would take the same, and you know, very happy to have a baby in a manger or a man on the cross, but not an empty tomb. That can't be. No. Can't be. And that's because of the blindness of sin in hearts. Not able to see that. Perhaps you're not able to either. But God, by his mercy and grace, takes the scriptures, which are the word of God, the voice of God, and the way of God, to come to God. That's why we share the scriptures. We give out the word of God and depend upon the Spirit of God to take it and work in hearts and minds. No, not everyone who sees the Son as the light of light, or the very God of very God. For the Godhead, indeed, is veiled in flesh, is only perceived by faith. So we pray for folks that God would give them the faith that they need to believe the Scriptures as they read the Scriptures. We don't pray for some faith out of the thin air or some faith that'll come about by reading some great writer. But we pray that folks will read the Word of God, because faith comes, as you know, by hearing the Word of God. It is indeed a gift of God. And so our hearts and minds are upon our loved ones, family members, upon neighbors and friends, that they will indeed take the scriptures that we might share with them, the Bible we would give them, the great gift of the Word of God, and they would read it, and we pray, Father, you would open their sin-blinded eyes by way of the scriptures, the great ointment upon the eyes, that they might see the very one that we see. That faith would indeed bring that about, and they who have been will be born by the Spirit of God to do the work of God as you do. And I trust right this day, you know, this morning hour gathered here, that God, by his great grace and only by his grace, that you might see the Lord Jesus if you never have, the perfect image of the Father, that you would be able to spend every day rejoicing in, living for Christ in the midst of a sinful world, and one day spend eternity with him, and might that be the joy day by day in your heart as you would consider him. Perhaps you recall a book in the Bible called Isaiah in chapter 6, well-known chapter, but I just mention it here, where Isaiah, a prophet of God, saw Christ. He says he saw him high and lifted up. Saw him high and lifted up on a throne. It says he who sat thereon was so glorious. He who sat thereon was so glorious that the shining blinded the seraphim, that they had to hide their faces from the brightness, the gloriousness of who he was with their wings. I pause and wonder how many times has it been that when we have read the scriptures, that we have felt that way before Almighty God. That the brightness of God and who he is and the declarations of his gloriousness have blinded us so that we dare not look face to face upon him. I fear we see God not as we ought to many times. We're pretty haughty and self-centered and think of ourselves as kind of wanting to get the glory. They dared not gaze upon him, the brightness of his glory. But we can indeed gaze upon him through the scriptures and are able to see the brightness of the gloriousness of God by reading of him and seeing his image as we read the scriptures. And realize this is us sinful men redeemed by the blood of his Son who are able see God in the scriptures. Not as a good luck charm or a nice passing thought or, oh, I wish he was really like that. But, oh, the very God is who we have before us. When you're reading this book called the scriptures, the Bible, and we're thinking on that a little bit here this morning hour. We remember from the scriptures, I trust, a man named Saul, who was one to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When he writes his testimony in Acts chapter 26 and verse 13, his testimony was that as he walked along or rode along on his way to a place called Damascus, that a light, he brings out the word a light. Remember the statement, Acts 26, 13? Above the brightness of the noonday sun. Now that's bright. Burst upon him. Indeed blinded him. By the brightness of his glory. Might God indeed cause us to see the brightness of his glory. So you look through the scriptures. Lest your eyes have been opened from the blindness by way of sin. And indeed you see Jesus, the brightness of God's glorious grace. You see Jesus as very God of very God. Indeed born blind in sin. God has to take the scriptures, as it were, and blind us to ourselves that we might see marvelousness of this one called Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're still blind, still in your sin and blindness you were born with. We pray that God, in his great mercy, will open your hearts and minds and souls, spiritual eyes to see him, the Lord Jesus. The phrase here, the express image of his person, indeed refers to something engraved or impressed upon something, but like a coin, the impression therein, or a seal of some sort, that bears every little, exact, minute detail in its imaging. Line for line. Every feature that could be, that should be brought out as an exact, to make an exact image. The lines of deity have been reproduced in Jesus' humanity so as to find out that God indeed, what he is like. I like a little phrase by a man by the name of J.B. Phillips. Usually when you find a booklet by someone who just is a writing spiritual, Christian, biblical commentaries and things, they only give their first initial, such as this, J.B. Phillips. Usually it's written by Plymouth Brethren, men who didn't like to say who they were or use it, thinking there might be a something nice said about them, so just use those initials. But anyway, J.B. Phillips said this little statement, Jesus is God in focus. Jesus is God in focus. You want to see God, it can only be by way of the Lord Jesus Christ presenting him. On our outline of ours, we hardly have the moment to make even an attempt at point number five. Jesus Christ, the regulator, upholding all things by a word of his power. Hold your breath. We're not going to couple verse number five. We'll just mention this about it. When God spoke and it was done, we see that here being brought out when you look at verse 3 about Jesus, and upholding all things by the word of his power. And upholding all things by the word of his power. In creation, remember the great account, creation, Genesis 1, when God said, light be. And light was. That same executive, we could call it that power, because there's no power greater, was evident and used when Christ was on earth. Here the Heavenly Father says, light be and light was. And here upon this earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, being God, the only one who could say in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 2, as he walked along the dusty, dirty road that was part of Israel, that part indeed which he had made. And walking along, he hears a leper along the side of the road crying out, Matthew 8:2. The leper says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. What was the reply? Remember the reply? The Lord Jesus said, I will be clean. And he was. So to you we have the same glorious message and the same glorious Lord from the name of the Lord, who as you might call upon him and say, Lord, I'm but a sinner and I need to be cleansed. Lord, cleanse me if you will. The Lord's reply is, I will. Be clean. Same one who spoke this world into being from out of nothing is the same power holding it together and who can give you 100% assurance of life eternal with him. our brief conclusion today would be this. In my looking and reading and thinking, I'd never seen this outline before in verse 3. Perhaps you have. I trust you have, a better reader than I. But you ever notice this outline in verse 3 that we're looking at about Jesus, who being the brightness of God or his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Did you see the outline? His glory, his person, it's his power. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ and the Heavenly Father. A college friend and a roommate, the best man at our wedding, now with the Lord, one day many years ago now, saw our youngest daughter and our oldest, the only one we have daughter-wise, whom he had not seen for many years. He had not seen her from the time she was very young, very small. But he was at the same college walking down the hallway that we had graduated from, and he saw her coming toward him, and he stopped her and said to her, "You're a man, Warren, aren't you? I can tell you are, because you walk just like your father." Interesting. Well, might you and I walk just like the Lord Jesus Christ, that we are like our father, that we would live his image, and we would be those sharing the glorious brightness of the gospel. Here in the midst of a very crooked and perverse world, as Philippians 2:15 records, as we live here in the midst of this crooked and perverse world, we might live blameless, harmless, as the children of God, without fault. No, we're not perfect. As we do what? We shine as lights in this very world. Might God, by his great grace, glorify his name through us, as we would seek to glorify him in our meager ways, and as we would seek to edify one another and evangelize the lost. In your hymn book, there's a hymn. We're not going to sing it. I want to read a little bit of it. 387 is the page, 387. It's, "Oh, to be like him." Is that our constant longing and plea? "Oh, to be like him," 387. "Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer. This is my constant longing and prayer." I'm not sure it is for us. "Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures." It's quite a mouthful. "Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear." The chorus is, "Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art." The songwriter writes, "Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart." Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender, and kind, helping the helpless and cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, the third stanza. Oh, to be like thee, lowly in spirit. We have to admit many times, most times we're not. Holy and harmless, tender and kind. Patient and brave, I missed one. Meekly enduring cruel reproaches. Willing to suffer, others to save. Are we? Really, oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee. Blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art, come in thy sweetness while he has come. Stamp thy fullness. Stamp thine own image deep on my heart. We're going to pray, our Father, might we indeed be setting forth the brightness of you, and might we indeed be the image of our Heavenly Father. And our Father, we thank you for the one seated at your right hand who ever lives to intercede for us. Thank you that as we go through a perverse and crooked world, we can do it with the strength and godly testimony that you've given us. As we talk about Jesus, we don't talk about us. Take the Word of God and bring it into our hearts so that we will be exalting you and edifying one another and evangelizing others this week. And we'll thank you as we pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ.